Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Think about what can go right when you plan for the future. Talk to a financial broker and start your savings plan today.
Now, the Minister for Health has said that overcrowding in hospitals could get worse and that the HSE is to call on senior medical staff, such as consultants, to come in at weekends for the next few weeks to help alleviate the situation. Stephen Donnelly briefed the Cabinet on the challenges facing the health service, but no significant decisions were made during today's meeting. Both he and the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar have said any resources required by the HSE will be made available to tackle overcrowding and long waiting times. Well, to discuss all of this, we're joined now by Fine Gael TD and Oireachtas Health Committee member Colm Burke, and by Róisín Shortall, co-leader of the Social Democrats and party spokesperson on health. You're both very welcome to the programme this evening. Colm, I'll start with yourself. And why is it, do you think, that we have got to this point where our hospitals are under so much pressure?
Well, I think the first thing you have to look at is the increase in population in this country over the last 20 years, and we haven't actually responded in a timely manner as regards the provision of additional hospital services. And let's be honest about this. I mean, I've been pushing very hard for a new elective hospital in Cork. The HSE submitted their proposal back in January of 2022, yet it took 11 months for the Department of Health to send it down to the Department of Public Expenditure. And we need to fast-track procedures like this in relation to making sure that we can deliver up-to-date health care services in a timely manner. The second issue that we have is that if you look at, you know, the population has increased by 60,000 per annum over the last 20 years, but this year alone, the population may very well have increased by over 150,000, 160,000 people. For instance, between January and October, there were 260,000 new PPS numbers, that's tax numbers issued, over 60,000 to Irish people, 65,000 to people from Ukraine, and then to people from 202 different countries who are now working and living in Ireland. So that's a huge increase in population. Therefore, you will then have a huge increase in services. The other issue that I think we need to look at is,
but just on that point that you're making, like, I know we have had a surge in population, as you've outlined, but if you do a search on hospital overcrowding in Ireland any year in the last decade, you will find new records being broken.
Absolutely, because we haven't delivered the services that we should. And let's be honest,
and when you
about
say
it,
we, I assume you mean Fine Gael and government.
I'm talking about overall the way we deal with the decision-making process. When one department takes 10 months to send down a proposal to another department, we need to look at that. The other thing that we need to look at is in relation to the current situation. Let's look at the current situation. I understand from Nursing Homes Ireland that at the present time, as we are speaking here, there's up to 1,000 beds vacant in private nursing homes. The turnaround isn't fast enough. At any one time, there's over 600 people waiting to be discharged from hospitals where they have been provided with the hospital care. They now need to be put into or be accommodated in step-down care. We need to fast-track that whole process in relation to access to nursing homes. Now, some areas of the country, there isn't vacancies available in nursing homes. In other areas, there is. My understanding is, for instance, in North Dublin.
Colm, we've been talking about that for decades, haven't we?
No, but we were talking about it, but we still seem to have a process
Who's the we here? Like, where is the accountability?
Well, you see, my view on this thing is that we need, as each year, you know, we come to this time of the year, you look at the last 2 years, we didn't have the flu epidemic that we currently have. I understand that the numbers attending accident emergency is up by 15.5% above the average over the last 5 years. Therefore, we appear to have, we now need to react in a different way. And the different way of reacting is by making sure that we fast-track certain procedures. One of those is getting people out of hospital.
Or maybe do what you say you'll do in the first place. I mean, even if we look at the HSE's winter plan for 2022-2023, the Irish Hospital Consultant Association came out today and said 51 additional emergency medicine consultant posts that were meant to be delivered under the HSE winter plan have yet to be delivered. It's January.
Absolutely, and one of the reasons for that is that the whole process in relation to recruiting can take time. Remember, you're competing in the world market for doctors and nurses. If you look at the UK at the moment, there's over 47,000 vacancies for nurses. If you look at GPs in the UK, over 5,000 vacancies.
So what's the point of a winter plan then? What's the point in setting these targets of 51 additional emergency medicine consultants, which you have to imagine would make a big difference right now? They haven't been delivered. What's the point in setting the targets?
You can have all the medical staff you like, but one of the things you need is hospital beds. And one of the ways of providing hospital beds is making sure you have a flow through the hospitals that's in a timely manner. And the way of doing that is making sure that once people have been assessed and it is determined what treatment plan they require, and they're then being discharged, about getting people out of hospital in a timely manner, and also then about making sure that once people come into accident emergency, that they're dealt with in a timely manner as well. And remember, in fairness to
We know all this, Colm. You know, we know that that's what should be getting done, but it's not getting done for various different reasons. It's not getting done.
But I'm saying to you that you can actually look at issues like this. We also need, in fairness, to look at, you know,
Look at issues like this. We're in the middle of possibly the worst hospital overcrowding emergency the country's ever seen. And you're talking about looking at issues that people have been talking about for 20 years.
Look, we have to react to it as it stands at the moment. I am saying to you, as we speak, there's over 1,000 beds vacant in nursing homes.
Okay.
My view is that we need to now see how we can fast track people where their care has been provided in the hospital, they now can go into step down facilities. We also need to look at how we use the private sector, private hospitals.
I know the minister was talking about that as well. Roisin Shortall is also on the line, as I mentioned. And Roisin, Stephen Donnelly did make the point to Brian Dobson earlier today that this is a worldwide problem. He's saying it happened in the Southern Hemisphere. It's been experienced here. It's right across Europe. Some of the best resourced healthcare systems in Europe, he said, are experiencing very similar strains and stresses in emergency departments.
I'm not sure they're experiencing the kind of stresses and strains that we have here. And, you know, the fact that it's true what you say, this is the worst emergency we've ever had in this country in terms of our health service. And the thing is that it was entirely predictable. We have known for months that there was going to be an upsurge in COVID and in flu. And there was a complete failure to adequately plan for this. And, you know, the idea of ministers and government representatives going around describing the problem is not what's needed. We need action in relation to this, and we needed a proper winter plan. It was a work of fiction when it was published, and indeed nobody in the health service believed that any of the targets were going to be met. So it was about going through the motions of publishing a plan that wasn't based in reality. Now, there's two things that need to be done, Sarah, in my view. The first is that there's a need for an immediate response, because there's an immediate crisis there, and that means expanding capacity as quickly as possible. The best way to do that, and the quickest way to do it, is to requisition additional capacity from the private sector. Mm. A certain amount has already been brought into use, but we need to requisition much more than that on a scale that was done when we had COVID. And, you know, the idea of the minister...
Stephen Donnelly did address that today in the news at one, didn't he? And he said that 185 private hospital beds have been secured. He said we need to go further than that, but they don't want to go for the blanket approach that they did during COVID, because he said only 40% of the capacity was then actually used in the private hospitals. So that's not a good use of resources.
No, and I wouldn't defend that either. It's about planning properly and ensuring that the capacity is there. And the minister kind of making comments across the airwaves is not doing the job properly. I mean, the minister, the secretary general and senior management in the HSE need to stop speaking to each other across the airwaves or by email. They need to sit down and develop an urgent plan to deal with the crisis in the health service. That's the first point that I'd make, that we need to requisition that additional capacity.
Okay, but just on that, for example, as an example of something that they did try to do, €350 million into a plan to reduce waiting lists. This was done early last year. And then they noticed that it wasn't working. The €350 million gone, and the number on waiting lists has not reduced by anything near what they expected to happen. So what do you do in that situation, Roisin?
You you take responsibility for managing the service properly, you ensure there's proper planning, and you ensure that there's proper accountability. And if people aren't doing their jobs, then that needs to be dealt with. Look, this isn't rocket science. It's challenging, all right, but it's about having adequate capacity to meet the demand that is predicted. The second thing I would say that the government needs to do is they need to ensure that there are adequate alternative healthcare facilities available and that there's extended opening hours. People are being advised not to go to emergency departments unless absolutely necessary. But the reality is that the alternative facilities, you know, whether that's integrated care hubs or minor injury clinics, most of those close at 8 o'clock in the evening, and there's limited GP cover from our primary care centres. We need to start employing GPs to come in and provide that additional cover
available
that's needed.
We have a GP shortage, don't we?
We do have a GP shortage, yes, but we also need to ensure that those GPs who are currently working part-time could avail of out-of-hours working opportunities. And I think there are GPs in the country who would be prepared to do that.
Okay, I think Callum wants to get back in there.
I would just make one more point, Sarah, and that is in relation to delayed discharges. At any one time, there's about 600 patients in our acute hospitals who are ready to be discharged, but there are inadequate community facilities.
Yeah, Colin
either
is talking
in terms
about
of
the private
or step-down beds.
There is over 1,000 beds available in the private sector.
And why aren't they being used?
Well, that's the question that I'm asking. That's the question
that I've raised
already today, on the basis that at any one time, in our private nursing homes, there's over 1,000 beds available. There is a process at the moment which, within the HSE, within the hospital, which I've highlighted, it's taking too long, and we need to tackle that. And if you can get, 600 people out of hospital that are currently waiting to be discharged, then you have 600 beds freed up.
But that's what Roisin is after saying, and Roisin's in the opposition. You're here as representative of the government party who's been in power.
In the decision-making
process.
I
know, but you're here as a representative of Fine Gael. Your party leader is the Taoiseach, and you're telling us how to solve the problem, but it's not being done.
Well, I am saying to you that there's a number of key issues that I've identified over the last 12 months, for instance, the whole issue about elective hospitals. I've campaigned very effectively in relation to that. But the timeline for getting decisions taken is taking too long, and we need to fast-track those decision-making processes, including how we get people out of hospital faster and making sure that we look at the mechanisms to make sure that we can get people out once the consultant has decided to discharge them and once
Have you tried to meet the minister?
Pardon?
Have you tried to meet the minister?
Yes, I have met the minister, not over the last week, but I mean, I've made my views known over the last 6 months in relation to various issues in relation to healthcare, as likewise when he comes into the health committee.
So do you have any understanding as to why what you're saying and what Roisin is saying should be done isn't being done?
I think one of the problems that you have when you have a very large organisation is you have procedures in place that take time to change. And this is one of the problems that I find with the HSE, and where I get extremely frustrated at being in the backbenches, trying to highlight issues and trying to get them done. And for instance, and I again go back to issues in relation to where, for instance, we have built... we have an extra 60 beds available in Heather House in Cork, about making sure, adding to an existing 50 beds, which is a step-down facility, about using all of those. My understanding is that they're still not being fully effectively used.
Neither of you would be surprised about that. Just one text talking about this person's 84-year-old uncle spent 4 days and 3 nights sitting in a chair at Cork University Hospital over the Christmas. The family discharged him and took him home. He had to eat in the chair. People walking by, no privacy. There's a full line of patients sitting on chairs, nurses having to dress patients in the next chair beside him. Never seen anything like it, said this person.
We took him
home for his own safety. But Roisin, another person says, it's crazy to talk about the answer being discharging patients more efficiently. People, says this person, are being discharged too soon and having to go home before they should be.
We know that at any one time, as I say, there's 600 people who are ready to be discharged. And the difficulty is that there is inadequate home care and inadequate step-down beds available. So that problem could be dealt with very, very quickly.
Because another person on the nursing home idea that both of you have proposed, this person says nursing homes themselves are short-staffed.
And Sarah, I would have to say that, you know, this idea that the government has about throwing money at the problem is, you know, it's completely inadequate. The biggest problem facing the health service at the moment is staff shortages right across the board. Consultants, GPs, nurses, healthcare professionals. Now, you know, what we need is meaningful workforce planning. There is virtually no workforce planning going on at the moment. So extra money becomes available, they go to recruit and they find that the staff aren't there. And like, unless that issue is tackled as a matter of urgency, we're going to continue making these same mistakes over and over again.
Colm, on that point, please, on the recruitment of staff.
The workforce planning. In 2014, there were 103,000 people working, full-time equivalents working in the HSE. That's doctors, nurses, care assistants, porters, everything. 103,000 in December 2014. That's now well over 136,000. So that's an increase of over 30,000.
That was eight years ago.
Since the start of 2020, there are 4,592 extra nurses. There are 2,654 social care.
Enough.
So, like, there is staff there. The question is, how do we make sure that the system works effectively?
Yeah. No, there's staff there, but there's not enough staff there. You accept that, don't you?
Your problem is, it's not just those staff. As I said to you, it's about beds and it's about the turnover beds.
You think there's enough staff in the health service?
Pardon?
You think there's enough nurses, there's enough consultants?
As I said at the start of this debate, was the fact that the population of this country is continuing to increase. Therefore, we must respond in a fast way as regards making sure we
also
increase
services. Just to clarify your position
including
on that,
the employment
are you saying, okay, you think we do need to employ additional staff?
Absolutely. But we also need, Sarah, to also get a message out there to the general public in relation to their healthcare as regards encouraging more people to make sure they take up the COVID vaccines, that they take up the flu vaccine, and we're not doing enough on that. And the other one is on the masks. I believe that we should be insisting on masks being wear.
Look, Sarah, you'd like to see a mask mandate in put in place, because the CMO has apparently, according to Stephen Donnelly today, the CMO has said that that's not something that she would like to see in place at the moment.
Well, I believe we should be encouraging people to wear masks.
And okay,
I think
that's
it should become
all right.
Law,
Sarah,
but I think we should be encouraging people to wear masks.
Briefly, Roisin, because I got to go.
This is basic stuff. We know the population predictions. We know the fact that the population is ageing. We know the kind of numbers of staff that are needed. What we need is a proper workforce plan
so that
we ensure that the adequate numbers of people are in third level colleges, in training placements, and that they're available then when money is made available to employ extra staff.
Right.
That is a very big problem
at the
moment.
Lots more people texting. We'll get to some of those texts a little later. Thank you both very much for joining us, Roisin Shortall and Colm Burke.